How not to take things personally. That's how we'll end today. Sometimes with some habits, mindsets, we need quite simple advice to get us back on track, because it's the simplest advice we can often neglect. Our next guest has given a very popular TED talk on how not to take things personally. He's a media trainer with his own company, but also an actor in a number of European TV shows, including Belgium's longest-running soap, Thamma Lee. And his face is probably more familiar to us than his name, Frederick Ambo. He is also a football referee. Frederick, welcome.
Thank you so much. Hello there, everyone in New Zealand. Hello from Europe, from Belgium.
You come on stage from Belgium in your big TED talk, blowing a referee's whistle and carrying a football. You decided, first question, you decided to become a football referee. Can you tell us why?
It's because first I wanted to stay in good shape. And actually, I don't really like to run. So I had to give myself a purpose to run. And secondly, because I help people to improve their communication style. And so also sometimes I get the request, yeah, but sometimes I get criticism and how can I not take it personally? I was struggling myself with it. So I said, you know what, let me become a football referee to train myself, the method that I'm teaching other people, to train it myself. That's the reason.
Before we get to the method, how well has it worked becoming a football referee in order not to take things personally? Has it worked for you?
I'm really glad to say it has worked. I think, no, it's okay. I can handle this.
You use an example of driving on the road in a car, and it's a good example, slowing down to find a location in a car and people behind getting annoyed with you.
And someone is tailgating, flashing his headlights. I think, come on, please understand me. I'm struggling here. Please understand me. What does the guy or the woman behind me do? The absolute opposite. Come on, move on. Well, actually, I just would like to be understood. Like, hey, I'm just doing my best. And so thus, I think that the other one is responsible for what I feel. I feel clumsy and I feel awkward and I don't want to be treated like that. So I think, well, actually, my ego thinks it's the fault of the other person, what I'm feeling. And this is actually one of the biggest insights or mistakes that sometimes people do, believe that someone else can be the cause or even the responsible for what you're feeling. But if I think, no, okay, some people are in a hurry and it does not tell anything about myself or about my clumsy way of driving.
Yes, and we're starting to get to your method. That phrase of yours, I would like to be understood. There are 1,001 examples, Frederick, from life. Yes, I mean, a lot of them have to do with not being appreciated, not having your work valued, getting too much criticism, never enough praise. We all know this feeling. We all know this feeling, probably.
We all want to be valued. We are craving for understanding. He's not seeing me. He's not understanding me. And so we feel sad and we believe it's the fault of the other person. Well, actually, the other one is not responsible for what we feel.
It drains our energy. You see, if this is fairly constant through the day, and it can be, it drains our energy, you say.
Exactly, because you're in a constant battle between I want to be right, I want to be right, I want to be right. But this is so energy demanding. If you the whole time feel like you have to prove yourself and you want to be justifying yourself against the rest of the world, bam, that's so tiring. In a lot of cases, it's an endless battle against two egos who just want to be right. Do you really want to be right? Or do you want to be happy? This is a decision I need to take myself, how I would like to feel.
One of my favorite sayings has always been, resentments let other people live rent-free inside your head.
Exactly. Wow, that's a nice one.
Yeah, that's a nice one. That is quite a nice one. Now, but just before we carry on, you've mentioned ego. You've mentioned needing to be right, being afraid of not getting respect. You must have seen a lot of this when you have acted in all your television dramas.
Yeah. There is so much ego. And again, ego for me is just a signal of being afraid, not being good enough. The subtext is actually, oh gosh, please love me, like me, because I feel vulnerable and I'm afraid, I'm lacking self-confidence. Why else would you have to blow yourself up like, hey, I'm a big guy?
Afraid of being too small. It's one of the troubles of the world. You're describing one of the major troubles of planet Earth. Frederick, you have a heads or tails strategy, which is quite useful because it's easy to hold the image of a coin in our minds. Would you explain that for us?
First of all, the coin, I did use it because I'm a referee. So if I focus on the other person's perspective, if I focus on the other person's unmet needs and maybe see that he has just other things on his mind, then I will no longer take it personally.
And in flipping that coin, you say, we change our focus from me to we.
Yeah, it's not about me. But if this does not work, for example, if I shift my attention to what you want and what you feel, what you need, and however, I see what you mean, but I still feel, oh no, it still hurts. Well, then it means that it is about me. And then I should question myself and maybe discover that, oh gosh, yeah, I know. Yeah, again, oh yeah, that same sensibility. Oh, I'm struggling already my whole life to be seen, to be heard, to be acknowledged. And maybe I find out that I'm so hard seeking for recognition because maybe I never got it in my education from my parents. Maybe they always told me, Frederick, come on, listen more carefully, be a better person, pay more attention. And so better, instead of feeling attacked by the other person, you'd better say, okay, what the other person does is maybe not nice, but if I'm struggling so hard with this, it must tell something about myself. And that's the moment, Jim, to instead of lashing out to the other person, to give yourself some empathy.
And the paradox is that in doing that, we'll probably get more of the respect and the attention and the love that we are craving anyway.
Exactly. If you don't expect it, if you don't demand it from the other person. So again, if you open yourself and you tell very vulnerably that to the person what is alive in yourself, well, of course, this connects much more than attacking and judging the other person.
I like the example you give of our children. We don't resent small children when they don't appreciate us or when they play
out. Exactly. And yet, yeah, when they throw their thumbs on the floor and they scream, I hate you, no one will take it personally. No one will believe that indeed the child really hates us. But if I ask people, listen, you are an orange, then you can only take it personally if somehow you believe that you are an orange. So there must be some truth in it before you can really take it personally. So the orange is maybe a weird example because no one will take it personally unless you're very fat or you're having a bit of a face like Donald Trump. You might take it personally. But if I say other things, oh, like, Jim, you are such a talker. You always talk, and you always interrupt people. Well, if you're not someone who interrupts people, you will also not take it personally.
Mm. I hardly ever interrupt, Frederick. Frederick Embo is with us. How to not take things personally. 80% of our thoughts are negative. And I thought, I've heard that. Is it scientific? And I looked it up, and it does appear to be the conclusion of the U.S. National Science Foundation. And what interested me is that about 95% of those negative thoughts are actually hangovers from the day before. You know, gloom repeats and repeats and repeats every every day in our lives. And that is something,
exactly.
That's something that we can change, which is what you're saying.
Yeah, you should be aware of it. And we can also explain why we think always so negatively. It's an automatism. It's still a repetition of our ancestors thousands, millions years ago. to still be focused much more on the negative parts. And as you say, it's in most cases an automatism and a repetition of what we have been doing the days and the days and the years before.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. What I quite like is that there is a lot of discussion and controversy over the extent to which positive thinking works. But this isn't positive thinking. It's a kind of thinking flip, heads or tails, isn't it? It's changing the way you think without necessarily having to be, you know, having to look at the future with rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, and I'm even a bit allergic to this. We call it, and I hope that I'm not offending anyone, we call it here in Europe sometimes the blind positive American way of thinking, like, yeah, everything is okay. No, not everything is okay. We should just look at reality and question ourselves and question our way of behaving and thinking and asking ourselves, is the way I think, first of all, does it help me or not? I'm giving a lot of keynote speeches, and in one of my other keynote speeches about sustainable happiness, I confront people with the yes and the no. No, no, no. The other one cannot do something like this. No, I want something else. I want freedom again. I don't want this COVID. I want people to behave the way I want them to behave. Sustainable happiness can only emerge if you first say yes. And this means, first of all, accepting the reality as the reality is. If someone tailgating, flashing his headlights, giving you a nasty remark, you should say, okay, yes. This does not mean that you simply agree with it. I cannot change someone's remark. What I can change is the way I respond to that. If I take it personally, I'm in a constant fight again. If I say, okay, the other one does what he does, the lesser I'm emotional, the bigger the chance that the other one will feel understood, because I'm not attacking or reproaching him anything.
Yes, as you say, you can only take things personally if they touch a raw nerve. And we do see people who don't take things personally because they are or they seem more secure, and we admire that in them. But, you know, you can still practice a version of it whoever you are.
Absolutely, and nothing is as it seems. Most people think that I'm a very confident person. And actually, I am. In some domains, I am. I truly am. But maybe that's even a compensation, using my talent for things that maybe in other domains I question myself. I'm not sure about myself. And everyone struggles with insecurity. Everyone struggles with frustration. And so nothing is what it seems. So if we could understand that actually everyone is sometimes seeking love, acknowledgement, recognition, understanding, and everyone has his weak spot and sometimes takes things personally, I think we are creating a much peaceful and an even more loving planet.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Nothing is as it seems. Well, the world's a bit like the Matrix emotionally, isn't it?
Yes.
You're right. So just finally, what has this strategy done for you then?
I feel much more in peace with myself, and I'm much more in peace with the rest of the world. I can allow myself to sometimes feel sad because, okay, apparently the strategy in this case does not work, so it means it tells something about myself. Or in most of the cases, the frustration, the anger, or the sadness disappears because I see it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the unmet need of the other person. So as soon as we understand from which unfulfilled need the other one acts, well, we no longer take it personally. And this gives us ourselves a tremendous freedom and a tremendous balance in our emotional lives.
It's a very good thing to be reminded of. Has it made you a better referee?
Maybe. Maybe because I'm also radiating much more peace on the pitch.
Lovely to talk to you. All the best with your endeavors, and thank you for your time with us.
Thank you for you, Jim, and thank you for all the listeners who have listened to this talk, and thank you so much.
Frederick Ambo with us.